Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news, and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.
Oh, how can that not get you going on a Thursday night, 10 o'clock, right here on Love Sport Radio? You are listening to the Middlesbrough Fan Show with me, Charlie Hawkins. So much for us to get into, because there was two games. It was a corker of a game on the weekend. Derby 2-2, a late equaliser for Derby. Definitely points dropped. Jonathan Woodgate said so himself. But Derby, no easy match. And there's a little bit of needle between the two teams. We spoke about that last week. I'm sure it will come up tonight. Then crashing out to Spurs in the Cup, down obviously in London this week. We'll be talking all about that. But I'm delighted to say this is the second ever Middlesbrough Fan Show, and it is all about you, the fans. We want to hear from every different fans every week, giving you a chance to have your say on your team. That's why I'm delighted to say Phil Spencer joins us now from Football League World. Phil, thank you so much for giving us a little bit of time tonight and joining us on the Middlesbrough Fan Show. Spoke to you before, but finally get a chance to speak to you about Borough. What are you making of them overall this season and Woodgate's reign so far?
Well, I think his reign so far has been, it's definitely been a, it's been a tale of two halves, really, the proverbial tale of two halves, doesn't it? So I think in terms of how we started, it was very much a difficult brief for him coming in. It was a case of coming in. It was kind of a new business model for the club. It was a case of coming in, finding young, exciting players, and obviously trying to bed them into the system, and see what he could do in terms of that new approach. Really, it was getting rid of some of the higher earning players from the squad, and I think he found it quite difficult to start off with. Being a manager with little to no experience as well. So I think he found it difficult to start off with. And since then, he's kind of settled into it a little bit more. And what we've seen is his methods and the patience shown to him by the board have really paid off in recent weeks.
Yeah, absolutely. And that was obviously a strong theme of our show last week, Phil, because in a day and age in 2020, especially in sport, you know, it's a results-based business. It doesn't work. I heard the calls for Woodgate. It's not working out, you know. What's going on here? The rumours of a change. But it was Middlesbrough who stuck by him, and he mentioned himself, look, you know, he's completely changing everything here from top to bottom. We're going from a style under Tony Pulis to a style that Woodgate wanted them to play football. It's going to take time. And now they did bear with him, they stayed with him, they stayed the course, and they were sort of bearing fruit to that, obviously going on that 4-game winning streak, and now we're seeing why you should just give those managers that little bit of time, because let's face it, he's a Middlesbrough boy and he's a Middlesbrough legend, isn't he?
Absolutely, yeah, and I think that's exactly it. I think football as a whole, the idea of patience has just gone completely out the window. It's like you said, it's a results-based business. It is obviously important, and when Middlesbrough were kind of flirting with the bottom three and the realistic prospect of being embroiled in a relegation battle, I think it was right that people were thinking, right, this isn't good enough. This team's on paper too good to be embroiled in this kind of battle, and so Jonathan Woodgate was coming under pressure. But like you said, credit to Steve Gibson and the Middlesbrough board, because they stuck with him and they're kind of reaping the benefits of that now. And I think that should be a lesson to a lot of other football clubs, that managers need time, they need patience, particularly Woodgate. Everyone knows what the style of football was like under Tony Pulis. He's turned that round completely, but it does take time, and that's what we've learnt this season.
Yeah, absolutely. And just on the season as a whole for you, Phil, because obviously the halfway point, midway in January, is this kind of where you saw Middlesbrough? I know there's been an upturn in form, but what was you really expecting in your predictions for this season? Because it was always going to be a season of change and adaptation.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, yeah. No, I think, to be honest, I think where Middlesbrough are in the league at the moment, I think it's roughly where I thought they'd be, maybe a little bit higher. I thought the season as a whole would be a bit more of a mixed bag rather than a stretch of time where they were absolutely horrendous to watch and not picking up results. And then obviously the form that they've shown more recently, where, being frank, it is promotion winning form that they've shown, or at least playoff contending form. So I think the results that they've shown on the whole have been about what's expected. I think it was always going to be a season of transition. And I think at the start of the season, you'd probably look at them being about mid-table, maybe pushing into the top half of the table based on that. And I think, to be honest, based on the way that they've played so far and the results have been picking up lately, I imagine that'll be roughly where they end come May time.
Yeah, I feel confident, Phil, for some reason, going into this second half. I just really feel that we've got another gear and another floor that we can reach with Middlesbrough. I don't know, we've not seen the full potential yet. Now that they kind of have hit this river, maybe I'm letting it get carried away from me of sorts. But for you, Phil, also, you know, how did you become a Borough fan? How did you get started with Football League World and where did your love affair for Middlesbrough begin?
Uh-huh. Yeah, well, I moved to Teesside as an area when I was about 4 years old, and I think as you find when you move to the area, it's an area that's completely dominated by football. The Northeast as a whole, everyone says it that they are the most passionate football fans, and I think when you live in and amongst it, you do kind of realise that football is the almost the be all and end all for a lot of households and a lot of families. So it was always kind of there when I was growing up. Moving into my adult life, it was always still a passion, and so yeah, I decided to kind of retrain out of a previous career to go into sports journalism and sports writing, and now I'm getting to write about the team that I followed since I was a kid, so it's happy days for me.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. Just moments like that. I mean, I say it often, but it's true, Phil. You know, it's a real pinch me moment. Getting to even for me and getting to talk about football, the sport I love, and you getting to cover the team that you love. You just you'd never think this can happen. And now travelling up and down, following Middlesbrough, obviously a delight, and it's a delight for us to have you on the show. If we just turn it to Derby, though, obviously a game in which for me two sides obviously peaking at the minute. Obviously Derby. Beating Barnsley the week before, knocking out Palace in that cup. Two informed sides, and it played out like this, didn't it? 2-2, obviously, Derby getting that late equaliser. Middlesbrough unlucky, and some great goals in the game.
Absolutely, yeah. I think it was, like you said, it was a game that kind of had everything. It was a game that, from a Middlesbrough point of view, they were really good to watch, to be honest. I think Jonathan Woodgate, we mentioned it before earlier in the season when results weren't going quite so well. He was saying that the team deserved 3 points here and 3 points there. And he did kind of struggle to see where he was getting that from, because a lot of the time they weren't as good. They weren't kind of showing the same level of fight as the opposition, and they were kind of being outclassed. But what we saw against Derby was a team that realistically could have come away with 3 points, and it was that kind of late sucker punch which cost them. But it was, I think it's a nice situation to be in when you're coming away with a draw and you're disappointed with it against a team like Derby, because it just shows how far you've come in the month since the start of the season.
Yeah, and I know a lot was being made by the Derby fans for Dwayne Holmes' rocket volley, and it was a great goal, but we have to say Lewis Wing's goal was absolutely fantastic as well, I thought.
Absolutely, yeah. He's got that in his locker, hasn't he? He's a player who he's come from non-league football. He's there's something great about watching him, because I don't know, you watch a lot of footballers in the Premier League and the Championship, and a lot of them are quite polished, if you know what I mean. They've come through like Premier League academy systems and that, but he's come from a non-league club in Shildon. And he's come through, and he just looks a little bit raw compared to where everyone else has been, in the best possible way. He kind of picks up the ball 30 yards out, and where everyone else has been taught to pass it sideways and kind of keep possession, he goes, "Nah, I'm gonna go for this." And he tries to pick out the top corner, and more often than not, he tends to do it, and that's what Middlesbrough fans love about watching him.
Yeah, I completely agree. That's why I'm just getting excited about this side. I know it didn't quite work out on the weekend and obviously in the cup, but they were unlucky in that one as well. But just on that Derby game and the management team, actually, what are you making, not just of Woodgate, but what's the job and how the Middlesbrough fans feel about Robbie Keane as the number two and the duo setup they've got there?
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, it certainly seems to be working. If you'd asked me that maybe 3-4 months ago, I might have had a different answer for you. But I mean, they've come in together. Neither of them have got a huge amount of experience. I know that Robbie Keane's done work with the Republic of Ireland and that kind of thing. But the only real criticism that you could have thrown at them before was the lack of experience that they've got. Now, that kind of looked like it was going to prove costly at the start, but since then, I think their knowledge, they've both played at the highest level of the game, and it's kind of shown that what they've picked up over the years in terms of experience, learning from the best managers, and they've been able to put it into practice in recent weeks, and it's certainly worked out for Middlesbrough.
Yeah, absolutely. And listen, anytime you get points in the Championship, in where the games aren't gimmies and the league is very tough, but you've been going on this run. You are at home. I know it's sort of stating the obvious because it was a late goal from Dwayne Holmes, but Woodgate said it himself. For you, it was 2 points dropped there.
Absolutely. Yeah, it was. I think it's based on the results that have gone previous to that. When you're on a run like this in the Championship, things can change so quickly. And I think the point is that you've got to use another cliche, you've got to strike while the iron's hot. If you're in a good run of form, you want to very much make the most of it and pick up 3 points where you can. So the fact that he was disappointed with dropping 2 points against Derby, it's just really a sign of how far we've come in the last month or so. Things have really started to click into place, and I think for Jonathan Woodgate going into the next game against Fulham, it's a case of, yes, they didn't get a result against Tottenham midweek, but it's a case of kind of continuing that momentum and making sure that we can kind of extend that and hopefully take it into February and out of the festive period, which has been so fruitful for Middlesbrough.
Yeah, absolutely. We're going to be looking at those two games, Fulham and Birmingham, in the second half. But obviously Spurs this week didn't go to plan. Mihas making that mistake. And it just seems like at the minute, teams are favouring this playing out from the back. You know, it just spread through everything. You know, Pep wants it played that way. Man City want it played that way. This is the current, you know, fanciful thing. None of this, you know, just sometimes kick it out. And I know these mistakes happen, but it really just put Middlesbrough on the back foot. And then it just kind of set the tone, didn't it?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, I was talking to some of my colleagues before the game, and you're talking about how a game like this is going to go. You're playing against Tottenham away from home in the brand new state of the art stadium, which is amazing, by the way. And you're going into this game, and you're thinking, oh, can Middlesbrough really get a result out of this? What do they need to do to get something? And the general consensus is they've got to make sure that they don't concede early. If they can get to half an hour into the game without something happening, then the home fans will start to get edgy, and you can maybe start to tick them off slightly. But yeah, to concede a goal within the first 3 minutes of the game from a fully self-inflicted error such as that, it's just unforgivable. And being frank, I know there was chances in the second half and that kind of thing. But I think as soon as that goal went in, any chance of Middlesbrough realistically getting a result against that Tottenham side were kind of minimal, really. And you're saying about playing out from the back, I understand it from a tactical point of view. It does open up space further up the pitch if you can pull it off effectively. But yeah, when you're playing against a team like Tottenham, we've got such a high press. They put you under pressure. They've got the quality players that will punish you. And that's what Jonathan Woodgate said after the game as well. You can't get away with these things against the top sides. And that's what Middlesbrough learnt on that night, because it was one mistake in 3 minutes. And they got a goal, and it was effectively game over from that point.
Yeah, absolutely. Phil, I really enjoyed you coming on the show tonight. Hopefully you become a regular and we can talk more, and then we can obviously so much more to discuss where Middlesbrough are concerned. Really appreciate Phil Spencer coming on there. Check him out at Football League World. A really great guest for us to have on the show. But there's still so much more to say and do in this Middlesbrough fan show. And delighted to say Stephen Jackson is back with us from the 12th man.
Love Sport.
You're listening to the Middlesbrough Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins. There is still time for you to have your say this evening. Tweet us at Love Sport Radio or call us 0208 7020 558. And now I can say it is a pleasure to be once again joined by Stephen Jackson from the 12th man. Stephen, I've got to admit, I thoroughly enjoyed the Middlesbrough Fan Show last week chatting to you. I felt like we had a really good laugh and we dived into your team a little bit. I'm excited to see what your thoughts are of the two games that we just had. But I know you had Derby on the weekend. It was 2-2, and I do the Derby show, as I told you, and I mentioned that you said that 32 Red are playing Wayne Rooney's wages, and I got to admit, the Derby fan show, they weren't having it. They just laughed. They said rumours, everyone just wants Wayne Rooney. Stephen,
well, you're seeing the news come out now, haven't we, about Derby failing FFP rules now? So
yeah, I know.
Who's laughing now? So, you know.
Anyway, mate, really good to have you back on. I thought I'd tell you that. I was keeping you in mind this week, but obviously it was 2-2. Derby getting that late equaliser. There was a penalty in the game. Cocu said it wasn't a penalty. Middlesbrough were worth the 3 points. They didn't capitalise on that. Just quickly, your thoughts on that game.
That was a bit of a kick in the teeth, the 90th minute equaliser that they scored. But I don't know what game Cocker was watching when he says it wasn't a penalty. Yeah. It was an absolute stone wall penalty. But if you just look at the run itself, I mean, the run from Roberts, it was just a breath of fresh air. It was exactly why me and you were talking about Roberts last week, Charlie. You know, he is a fantastic signing, and he showed it in that little glimpse there. But yeah, it was a bit of a kick in the teeth. We should have won that game, to be quite honest, quite comfortably, because they were quite poor.
Well, this is it, Stephen. You know, we spoke about it last week, and I don't know if it's the signing of Roberts, talking with you, the sort of the good form that Middlesbrough find themselves on at the minute. It just feels like there is something in the air, maybe, going on in this second half of the season. It's always about how you finish, but obviously it didn't quite work out in that game with Spurs, but there was a shaky second half from Spurs. I know they were decent in the first half. Second half weren't at the races. Middlesbrough got that goal to give them hope, to give them a lifeline, albeit in the 83rd minute. But was there a part of you in that last 7 minutes plus injury time going, oh, hang on here, we could be in for something here?
Well, after the first half, no, because I mean, we looked absolutely terrified. I mean, I could see why. I mean, I was there Tuesday night. I mean, that stadium is absolutely, it's amazing. It's something I've never seen before in my life. But as you said, the second half, as soon as you got that goal, you could see Woodgate telling the boys, hoof it up, because Gusted was winning absolutely everything. And there was a chance, I think it was the 91st minute, where it was either Fletcher or Gusted flicked it on, and Tav was quite close to knock it in back post. So you could see the nerves. The nerves were all around us. But it's just, I think we just scored a bit too late, unfortunately. But it was just one of them things. They were the better team, unfortunately. But it was just one hell of a day out, to be honest.
Yeah, I'm sure it was for the fans. I want to talk about your experience. But you mentioned it there. It just felt like the Middlesbrough that we've seen of late, not the season overall, we didn't see that in the first half. Maybe, you know, a younger side, a little bit of naivety there, you know, the bright lights, an incredible modern stadium. They weren't at the races, and it didn't help with, obviously, the Mihas mistake. But the second half, different performance. And actually, there are positives to take from that and build on, Stephen.
Yeah, of course. I mean, that second half performance, it was like Woodgate told them, just take a deep breath, relax, go and enjoy it a bit more. Because, as I say, first half, as the whole country saw on the BBC, we looked absolutely terrified. And even at 2-0 down, we were still 8 men behind the ball. But luckily, we did take that big breath of fresh air and thought, right, let's have a little go, let's see what we can do. And we did push Tottenham back, and we did have them very, very nervous, especially when Saville scored the goal as well. It just showed that on our day, when we actually play well, we actually can match top teams. I'm not saying we are a top side, far from it, but with our work ethic, with our work rate, we can match anybody. And it was just, I just felt we just got a bit too late, but it was so good to see the nerves around the ground. I thought we've just shook a Champions League finalist up big time. So I was quite happy with what I saw in the second half, which was such a big positive.
Yeah, do you know what, Stephen? It's a really good point. You know, people forget, I know Spurs had their troubles this season changing managers, but made a European Cup final 6 months ago. This is a top European side, European pedigree, and Middlesbrough pushed them in that second half. That's why I think there's things to build on it. And we look at the two games you've got coming up, Fulham and Birmingham, and Middlesbrough sitting 16th, 34 points, but they're 8 points off the top six, and, you know, only 4 points off the top half. They're 10 points away from that relegation. They're looking up rather than looking down, aren't they? They're closer to that those topper echelons of that championship.
Yeah, it's like we said last week, Charlie. We've forgotten, not forgotten about what's below us, but we've stopped looking so much over our shoulder, and we started looking above us and seeing what we can achieve towards mid-table, even the top six. Because I think even Adam Clayton started to mention, you never know, the top six is there for the taking. But as I say, it's still one game at a time. As I say, it's a really tough test tomorrow night at Craven Cottage against a really good Fulham side.
Yeah, but Fulham's form for me, Stephen, and you're right, it's a tomorrow night game, so we're doing a really close preview to it. But Fulham's form for me is just a little bit weird at the minute. They, you know, they go on this run. I know they're in the playoffs, but then they throw in, like, they sort of drop an egg almost. They have these weird games, and sometimes I feel like they don't. They've got it coming, haven't they? You know, I feel like they haven't got a fear, maybe, you know, when you're going up against a Leeds or a West Brom. Fulham, for me, don't have that fear, and they already struggled up at the Riverside earlier in the season. Do you feel like, again, I know it's another London trip twice in a week, you can get anything out of it tomorrow?
I think we can. I can't see us, as cocky as it sounds, I suppose, I can't see us losing tomorrow night. I mean, I know they've got a top squad. It's one of the most highly rated squads in the league. But they remind me so much of how we looked when we first came down, when we bought the likes of a Sombalonga, etc. You know, they brought in the big players, hoping they can bounce back straight away. And it just hasn't quite gelled as quickly as Scott Parker would like. And I think there's weaknesses there, especially with Mitrovic being out as well. He's been firing at all cylinders all season for them. So I think there's a possibility to get something, if not a win there. So why not go there, have a go, and see what we can do?
Well, that's what I mean. In a season which is, slightly crazy, even though the Championship always is, people who don't really watch it will look at your Leeds or your West Broms and go, oh, Fulham, yeah, they came down from the Premier League. And it doesn't work out like that. And they'll go, oh, Middlesbrough, they're not having a great season, they're down here. That's not a reflection on the two teams, because people can say what they want about Fulham, but in that game at Riverside, they didn't look anything special, did they? Not a side that, you know, oh, this is a side that's definitely going to be in the playoffs and coming back up.
No, exactly. I mean, and obviously they had the keeper sent off quite early in the game, but as I say, we dominated that game. It just, there was little glimpses of the team we're watching now starting to come through. It's just a shame that we couldn't put one of our chances away, because we really did put them on the back foot on the Riverside. But as I say, we've developed now. Since that morning against Leeds end of November, we've only lost once in the league. Obviously, twice with Spurs on Tuesday. But they say once in the league in eight games, and all of a sudden we've hit a bit of form. And as you said, Fulham have stumbled a little bit. I mean, losing at home to Reading, I mean, that was a big shock the other week. I just think if you're positive and you get on the front foot against a team like Fulham, you've got absolutely any chance of getting a result there. And I think that's why we've got to go there and be really positive and have a right go at them.
Yeah, and I think the thing I'm trying to say, Stephen, is when I look at Fulham and look at that game, and you can't look at games in isolation, really. You don't get the full picture. But I don't see a huge, huge gulf, one team that come down from the Premier League and going, Fulham are miles above it. I'm guessing that's the positive I'm trying to take for this from Middlesbrough, because there isn't a chasm in class between the two.
No, as I say, if you look at the first 11s for both teams, I mean, I know we've got a few players out, so have Fulham, but we can match them on the pitch, quality-wise and work rate-wise as well. Because I know Scott Parker is a hard-working manager, obviously, as he was a player. So it's just one of them games where we just got to really match them, as well as we obviously shown back in October, and just push them back. And I honestly think that we'll have another good showing in front of the big cameras of Sky again, which should be a real positive for the club.
Yeah, absolutely. And obviously, news obviously in today and in the last few hours, obviously Randolph went to West Ham finally after Woodgate calling it the longest medical in history. Woodgate is actually a player that knows all about medicals and injury problems, so I'm going to take his word for it. But you have signed a keeper as well today. Obviously, that was coming after losing Randolph.
Yeah, Dejan, I'm so sorry if I say this wrong. Stojanovic, I think that's how you say it. Keeper obviously brought in from Switzerland. A big keeper as well by the looks. I think he's 6'5", so he's a big lad. So it's another bit of competition for the likes of Ainsley and Mayas as well. So it's always good to have three keepers. I don't like a team that only has two. There's not much competition, because if one makes a mistake, you're sat there thinking, I'm guaranteed to get in. But the likes of a third keeper in there as well, you've got that bit of competition. But so it's really good that the club's turned that round really quickly and got someone in pretty sharpish. But on Randolph, it was such a shame to see him go. Obviously, he's been keeper of the season for the last two seasons, keeper of the decade in the Championship. It's going to be a big blow losing him. But as I say, bringing in that keeper really quickly, it shows that the club had a plan in place to move on from, obviously, Randolph moving on, which we all knew was happening. And obviously, Woodgate was just trying to keep a straight face, saying, yeah, it might happen, it might not happen.
And what, you know, obviously, Randolph posting a goodbye farewell message, I felt like he really connected with the Middlesbrough fans. I think he was actually sad and sorry to leave it, obviously, but going back to the Premier League. But obviously, the fans obviously have taken to him, and Middlesbrough fans have him in his heart. But quickly, Stephen, before we end the show, just that Fulham and Birmingham game, two score predictions for you, because there's two games for us to talk about next week.
Tomorrow night, 1-1, 2-0 on Tuesday night against Birmingham. Nice, easy home win.
Yeah, I'll take that, though. 4 points from six. Again, continuing that unbeaten run for Middlesbrough in the Championship. Stephen, I really enjoy our time. I look forward to next week. Stephen Jackson there from the 12th Man on the Middlesbrough Fan Show. But do you agree with these predictions? Have your say, and you can have your say on any fan show, and tweet us in them predictions now. Tweet us at Love Sport Radio. Call us 0208 7020 558. The Middlesbrough Fan Show will be back next Thursday at the same time, 10 o'clock.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news, and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.